Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, please, in the Scriptures to a passage of 1 John, chapter number 4. The book of 1 John, chapter number 4. I'd like to read for your hearing verses 7 through 11. And then verses 18 and 19, 1 John chapter number 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then verses 18 and 19. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And that's the text, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. And the subject this morning is responding to the love of God. Responding to the love of God. I believe one of the most essential things in life is love. It's kind of like food and water and air. We must have these things or else we die. So it is with love. It is essential. Show me a marriage with no love, and I will show you an empty relationship. Show me a family with no love, and I will show you a family that's already dead. You can live without wealth, and you can. You can live without health, and you can, but you cannot live without love. This is true not only physically and emotionally, but spiritually as well. Living comes from loving. Twice in this passage, verse 8 and verse 16, John reminds us that God is love. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then the other passage that speaks of the love of God says the same thing. God is love. Verse 16, now we've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Love is an attribute of God. Brother Randy, making our announcements, has called your attention over and over again that we're having some special services here in our church in the month of November, 5, 6, and 7, our 20th annual Bible conference. And the Bible conference theme this year is the attributes of God. There is a tremendous ignorance concerning the person of God. Who God is. What are those things that make Him God? They are attributes. They are assets. And love is one of God's attributes. I would hasten to say it is not the most important attribute. I believe the most important attribute of God is holiness. Absolute holiness. God may love, or God may choose not to love. But God must be holy, or else He is not God. As I said, our text in verse 19, if we love God, it is because He first loved us. How do we respond to the love of God? Which means that we must deal for a few moments with this idea and this subject of defining the love of God. When you talk about that God is love, what are you speaking of? Theologically, there are two major aspects to the love of God. There is a common beneficial aspect. We call it a common beneficial aspect because it is common to every human being on the face of this earth. All men, at one time or another, have been recipients of the beneficial love of God. We call it the beneficial, the common beneficial love of God. Those things that God blesses us with and blesses people all over the world with. The entire human race, believers and unbelievers alike, are daily recipients of this aspect of God's love. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45, God maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust alike. It matters not if a person is of high moral standing or low immoral standing. It matters not the color of the skin. It does not matter of the race a person might come from or be generated from. It matters not. God is gracious in bestowing His love beneficially on the whole world. For as we enjoyed the sunrise this morning, so did the dope addict. So did the whoremonger. So did the prostitute. Even the agnostic is a beneficiary of the goodness of the benefits of God, this common love. I said two major aspects. That's one. The second major aspect is there is a personal relationship aspect to the love of God. What do we mean by personal? I mean that God directs sometimes this level of His love only to personal individuals and not to every individual. It is a personal thing. It's based on relationship. Our relationship to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God loves His children in a way in which He does not love the world of the unsaved. This is an electing love that John speaks of here. It is not a common love that everybody becomes a recipient of. It is a special love that only the elect of God are recipients of. Notice how he words it. In verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Toward whom? The us's in 1 John are believers. When he talks about us, he's talking about little children of God, those who come to know Christ as Savior, and God manifests His love to His children in a unique way that He does not manifest it to those who are not His children. If some person came to me, a little boy or a little girl, and said, Mr. Cozart, I really need some help. I would like to buy this. I would like to have this. I'm hungry. I need something for food. I would love that individual enough to say, yes, I want to have a part in your need. And I would give them something. But, oh, dear friends, if that child happened to be my child, if that child happened to belong to me, I tell you, I would be overwhelming with what I would do. I would lay down my life for my children. And Jesus Christ laid down His life for His children. We're not talking about the sun rising and the rain falling on the just and the unjust. We're talking that God the Father has a specific love for His children. Listen, God provides for goats, but He loves His sheep. Huh? He loves His sheep. He gives His own, those who belong to Him, spiritual life. And this was manifested in the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. He gave us spiritual life. And not only that, He gives to His own an accepted righteousness. In verse number 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but watch this, He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a very important word, and it actually means the satisfaction of God over what He did for those for whom He died on the cross of Calvary. The entire world's sin was not propitiated at Calvary. If it were, every sinner would go to heaven. If our sins were bought and paid for as every individual in the world, why would we go to hell if our sins have been forgiven? But God, in exhibiting this personal relationship, loved you as a believer in a way that He doesn't love anybody else in the world who isn't a believer. And that's what John is talking about here. It is this specific electing love that John speaks of in our text. Believers love Him. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved them. Thus the subject. How should believers respond to the redeeming love of God? First of all, how not to respond. It's a good idea to look at the negative aspect before the positive aspect. How not to respond. This is how you don't do it. This is how you don't respond. I mean, there are other ways you do respond. Watch out for this one. Don't do this one. What are they? John chapter 21. Take a moment and look at it. How not to respond to the love of God. John chapter number 21, verses 15 through 17. It happened at the lake of Tiberias, by the sea of Tiberias, on resurrection morning when Christ had risen from the dead, and He met with His disciples out by the lake. So verse 15 says, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, feed my sheep. If you'll notice carefully, the Lord Jesus asked the same question almost verbatim three times. In the same way He asked it the first time, He asked it the second and the third time. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And if you'll also notice, Peter responded with the same answer. He didn't dress it up. He didn't add to it. Said the same thing three times. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then when Christ asked him that third time, listen, Peter was grieved. Let me tell you somebody else who was grieved. The Lord Jesus was grieved because of Peter's meaningless answer. Peter's answer was very weak. Instead of answering the question, lovest thou me? Peter simply reminded the Lord what he already knew. Do you love me? Why, Lord, you know everything. He didn't say, how much do I know? He said, do you love me? Husbands, don't try this on your wife. If she says, regardless of how long you've been married, this doesn't come 60 years down the road. It sometimes comes the first week after marriage. Husband, do you love me? Don't say, dummy. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in all my life. Why do you think I would have married you if I don't love you? She didn't ask that. She said, do you love me? Don't make the mistake of Simon Peter here. The Lord left Peter with a stout rebuke. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, there's always been questions when preachers get together, what the these stand for. I tell you, I have no problem with it. It means fish. How many fish had been caught? 153. And those stinking, smelly fish were all around Simon Peter when Christ looked at him and he said, do you love me more than these fish? Why did he say, feed my lambs? Why did he say, feed my sheep? Because you see, Simon Peter's fault was he wasn't feeding sheep. He was feeding fish. The Lord told him early on, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And on Resurrection Sunday, when the Lord had not too earlier on come out of the grave and appeared to his disciples, and he had told them what he wanted them to do to be fishers of men, Simon Peter got with some of the other church members and said, I think I'll go fishing. Read it in John chapter number 20. And when Peter said, I think I'll go fishing, the rest of the church said, well, we'll just go with you. And they all went fishing for fish. And the Lord said, Simon, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know. Let me say this to you. If your wife asks you, do you love her? For goodness sakes, tell her you do. And really, if you want to please her, tell her how much you love her and how you could not bear to face life without her. Instead of saying, honey, you ought to know that. She knows what she ought to know. And Christ Jesus knows what he ought to know. He wanted to know, did Peter love him? We love him because he first loved us. Don't do it this way. Don't show your love that way. I wonder if we ever get into conviction singing, oh, how I love Jesus. We did a moment ago and I enjoyed hearing that. I enjoyed participating in that. But maybe sometimes if we were honest, we would sing it this way. Oh, how I love Jesus, but. Oh, how I love Jesus, but. You see, the Lord Jesus doesn't want but one thing. He wants it all. He wants you. And He wants you to put Him first. How not to respond to the love of God. Do you remember on one occasion, just before the Lord was crucified, Judas was one of the disciples. He went to see the Lord and he put a kiss on his cheek. As far as Judas was concerned, he wanted to impress the rest of the disciples how much he loved the Lord. Did he love Him? Not at all. He had betrayed Him for 30 pieces of silver. It is so easy to say, I love you, and not mean it, and not really realize what a statement that is. I love you. It's going to do something to me when I love you. And it's going to do something for you when you love me. Love has a way of doing that. So how not to respond to the love? Okay? How to respond to the love of God? Can we do that? We're to love Him because He first loved us. How do we love back? How do we love back? We love with an undivided love. An undivided love. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 and 37. One of the Pharisees came to Christ and said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said that. He must have first place. He's a jealous God. We must not love God with percentages. Now, Lord, I've increased my percentage of love to You. I love You about 52% today. And tomorrow I'm going to try and raise that to about 60%. No, we don't love God by percentages. It's an undivided love. And I tell you, dear friend, the love you have for your husband and the love you have for your wife and the love you have for your children ought to be an undivided love. Solomon never saw that from the day he was born till the day he died. Solomon's theme song was, love them all. Love them all. You can't do that. How to respond to love God, to the love of God with an obedient love. Luke 6:46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We say one thing with our mouth. If we're not careful, we say another thing with our life. If we really love Him, we will obey Him. Obey Him. John 14:15. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment have we from Him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. It's being obedient. One of the things the Apostle Paul said on the road to Damascus, he said it in the form of a question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He loved the Lord, now he's willing to do what God wants him to do, to be what God wants him to be. How to respond to the love of God with an undivided love, with an obedient love, with a genuine profession. A genuine profession. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There are two kinds of professions. There are false professions where it sounds pretty good, but we really don't mean it. And then there's a genuine profession that we mean everything we say, and if necessary, we'll die for it. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And then we're to love Him with a consistent love. We're to respond. How do I respond to the love of God consistently? consistently. Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I point out to you, they did not leave the Lord. Rather, they left off putting Him first. And I think that maybe this is where our churches are today in many regards. If you ask every member of Grace Baptist Church, do you love the Lord? I believe every one of us would say, yes, I do. If you were asked the question, does He come first? Now be careful. Be real careful. Does He come first? It gets to be an embarrassing thing. And then I believe that we respond with a church love. Now bear me out on this. With a church love. The Scripture says that Christ loved the church. What kind of believer is it that loves the Lord but doesn't love His church? How can we love, or how can we not love, what God loves Himself? On that same road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I've studied that passage, and I've studied the life of Paul, and he really, really did not go around persecuting God. And he did not go around persecuting Christ. He went around persecuting the church. And the Lord Jesus was saying this, when you are indifferent to my church, you're indifferent to me. When you neglect my church, you neglect me. And when you depart from the church, you depart from me. How do we respond to the love of God? With a church love. I'd like to conclude by raising this question also. How does the Lord loving us first provoke our returning that love? Does it do anything for you today to know that He loved you before you loved Him? Does that mean anything? How does the Lord loving us first provoke our returning that love? Number one, He loved us when we were unlovable. And He died for us when we were ungodly. According to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, again, Paul speaking, makes clear this statement. For yet when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You say, Brother Cozart, I've never been ungodly in my whole life. He didn't die for you. You too good to die for, my dear friends. Man, it's amazing to me. I don't know why you don't take more selfies of yourself. You're just so good. No, let me tell you, before God got hold of you, you were ungodly. Ungodly. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait for us to improve. He took us as we were, while we were sinning against Him. That's when He stepped in and invaded our life. That ought to provoke a little loving back, don't you think? His love is unconditional. What do you mean by that? I mean we brought nothing to the table. You had nothing to offer but sin and disgrace, and neither did I. And He loved us in spite of it. His love is eternal. This one is so big, my dear friends, I drowned every time I think about it. There never was a time when God did not love you as a believer. He loved you before the foundation of the world, before you were ever born. He loved you. And His love is sufficient, is it not? His love is sufficient. Therefore, because of this, let us love Him back. We love Him because He first loved us. What is your response to that marvelous love? What is my response to it? There should be some, if that is a genuine experience of God's grace in our hearts and in our lives. As a matter of fact, my dear friend, and I close with this statement, you will love Him if He loved you first. He loved us first, we will love Him. Which causes us to check and sure and make our election sure, does it not? Do I really love Him? Or is He just another ornament on my Christmas tree? Is He more than just a name, more than just a Bible story, more than just a babe in the Bethlehem manger? He's the lover of my soul, and He deserves the best. And all that I am, I give Him willingly that because He first loved me. How to respond to the love of God. May it please the Holy Spirit to teach us how to do that and help us to engage in that activity every day of our life in responding to His marvelous love. Let's stand, please, for prayer.